Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Thank you, Jesus! Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the 331st edition of SDG and part four in our Handel and Jenna's Messiah series. Today, we begin the second part of this incredible masterpiece. We're going to focus on John chapter 1, verse 29, and some scriptures out of Isaiah. Chapter 53, verse 3, 4, and 5, not in that order, though, and verse 6 out of chapter 50. So now I'm going to keep saying this, folks, until everyone remembers it. So get ready. I believe this is the most powerful musical apologetic for the gospel of Jesus Christ that has ever been created. And I believe it was created under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit by both Handel and Jennings. I truly believe that, folks. I mean, you can listen to this, and we're only going to cover a fraction of it. I think the entire performance, or it's not really a performance, it's worship, but the entire Messiah is about 3 hours long. So like I said, last week we concluded the first part, his nativity, and
We only looked at about half of it. So I'm going to encourage you all to go and listen to the rest of it. We listened to the first 12 parts, and there's 21 parts. So this week we begin part two, which is known as his passion. But before we get started, I want to share a few little things about the composer of this masterpiece. You know, Handel was born in 1685. And that was the same year two other composers were born. One of them you all heard of before, and that was Johann Sebastian Bach. And, you know, he's the one that inspired me to start using the term, or the initials SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, when I, did this message series on Blog Talk Radio, because that's how Johann Sebastian Bach signed every single one of his works, public and private. And the other composer was Domenico Scarlatti. Now, a lot of people confuse him with Mozart's nemesis, Salieri, but those are two different composers. And if you haven't figured it out by now, folks, I love classical and Baroque music. But anyways, listen to what Bach said about Handel. You know, and this isn't a quote, I'm just paraphrasing, but he said, "Handel's the only person I wish I could meet before I die, and the only person I wish I could be if I were not Bach." That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Coming from the master himself. And then listen to what another master said, Beethoven, who came along later. He was also very respectful of Handel's ability. And he said, "Handel was the master of us all, the greatest composer that ever lived. I would uncover my head and kneel before his tomb." So I just wanted to share a few of these things with you to show you how respected Handel was amongst his peers. And like I said, I truly believe he was touched by God with his abilities. And maybe a message in the future could be on what the establishment date has done concerning the actual tuning of A major. And some of you probably already know about this, but it has taken all of this music, even the stuff we're listening to today, and it's taken it off just a little bit. And that was not by accident, folks. So when you hear this music played on the true A major, the tuning note, it is truly heavenly. And I'm looking for that, and I haven't found it yet. So what you're listening to, actually done with the detuned A major. So anyways, let's dive into part two, the passion. And by the way, this is seldom played at Christmas time, with the exception of one part that we're going to hear next week. And I think you may know what it is. In fact, shoot me an email if you know which part that is. Okay? So let's get started with part 22. This is called Behold the Lamb of God. Now, this is a choral piece. It's about 3 minutes and 49 seconds long. And it's built upon John chapter 1, verse 29. So as I've been doing in the past, continue doing today, what we're going to do is we're going to read that scripture, and we're going to listen to that piece. And you know, I'm looking at the timing here. I must have wrote the wrong time down, because I have 3:50. Oh, I said 3:49. That's the right piece. So, "Behold the Lamb of God." This is John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world." So just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as we listen to these words, but to what I believe is truly angelic music. Just imagine, folks, being out there in the wilderness, you know, hearing this proclamation from none other than John the Baptist himself. Folks, John the Baptist was a mighty preacher. You know, just picture him standing out there, okay, in the banks of the Jordan, preaching. There's a rippling brook there as his choir, a rock for his pulpit. Now, I'm telling you, he may have eaten honey, but he didn't preach it. Jesus said he was the greatest amongst all prophets. He spoke with the authority of God. And what did he declare? Behold the Lamb of God. I mean, folks, think about it. That's earth shattering. Now let's move on to part 23. This is an alto aere. It's about 5 minutes long, and it's built upon Isaiah 53, verse 3, and Isaiah 50, verse 6, if you're taking notes, and it's titled, He Was Despised. So like I've been doing, I'm going to read those two scriptures, and we're going to play that passage and just ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you. This is verse 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we were hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And then Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and spitting. So folks, what I'd suggest you do, if you have your Bibles out, just listen to this music and follow along with those words out of Scripture. And like I said, just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So part 23, He Was Despised. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, he was wounded from our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Folks, I'm going to tell you a truth right now. Our sins were the nails that held Jesus to that cross, and our hard hearts, each and every one of ours, were the hammers that drove those nails. Yours and mine, folks. Jesus died for our sins. Now, I'm going to get into more at the end of the last passage we play. But Jesus died for our sins. So let's keep moving right now. We're going to go to part 24. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This is a choral piece about 3 minutes long, and it's just building upon Isaiah 53. So now we're moving to verse 4. And we're going to read the first part of verse 5. And that's what you're going to hear in this clip. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon him. So just listen to these words, follow along in your Bible, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Thank you. know, this passage, it haunts me because that is an emphatic, an absolutely emphatic statement made by God's spokesman, Isaiah himself. And praise the Lord, Isaiah goes on then and gives us the reason that he makes such an assertion. 12 times in the next 9 verses, folks, Isaiah asserts it. So just take note here and later on, read this passage for yourself. You know, think about it. Jesus is suffering for us. His suffering, it's vicarious, you know. It's born for us to save us from the consequences of our sins. And that enables us to escape judgment. And the very awesome truth here is that this very doctrine taught in this passage of Scripture, the Old Testament, is reinforced in the New Testament. And people think it's like two testimonies or two covenants. Folks, it's one before and after the event that manifested here on earth that was forged or established before the foundations of the earth. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, take out your pens right now. Read this passage out of Isaiah 53 again. Then read Matthew 20, verse 28. John, chapter 11, verse 50 through 52. So it's Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. John 11, verses 50 through 52. Romans 3, verse 25. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Romans 8, verses 3. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 21. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Galatians 3, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 7. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And I guarantee you, if you start reading those, the Holy Spirit's going to show you more and more. So the same doctrine that's taught in the Old Testament is taught in the New. There's one way to salvation, folks. And these truths form our hope and our trust and our consolation as Christians. So stop for a minute and think about this. Jesus carried our sorrows as he bore the punishment for our sins. Now, it's so sad, so very sad. But many who witnessed Jesus Christ suffer on that cross that day, and even many today who hear this testimony, they can't accept it as truth. You know, they see Jesus up there on that cross. He's bearing the sins of others as he bore their sorrows. Yet instead, they think Jesus suffered at God's hands because of something bad he did, or because God's wicked and just likes to, you know, administer grief. So what do? They scoff God and his son Jesus. And they revile him when he was at the greatest moment of his agonies. You know, you can read this in Matthew 27, verses 39 through 44. And I'm so sad when I think about this. I get so sad. But there's going to be very few people, past, present, or future, who get this truth and are able to declare, as that Roman centurion did at the moment of Jesus' death on the cross. Read it in Luke 23, verse 47. Certainly, this was a righteous man. And amen, it was a righteous man. King of kings and Lord of lords. So let's move on to part 25. And this is titled, "And with his stripes we are healed." It's a choral piece. It's very short, 2 minutes, 18 seconds. And it builds upon Isaiah 53, 5, the second part. "And with his stripes we are healed." So let's listen to part 25.
Thank you.
Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Now, these last three clips, they contain four key elements to the truth that's in these verses from Isaiah. All that Christ suffered was for us, you and me. They encompass the atonement for our sins. Now, the form varies, okay? It does. But the truth is one. Christ, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was wounded and pierced. You know, think about it. By thorns, by nails, even by the spear of that soldier. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, the chastisement which brought us peace with God, as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. So in other words, this chastisement leading to that death, that vicarious death on the cross, put a stop to the war between fallen man and God. And this is the first part of the good news. Jesus died for our sins. The better news is that the resurrection life that he lives, we too can live. You know, the Bible said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. That's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And then listen to what Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 24. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, with his stripes we were healed. Praise the Lord. Now let's keep moving on here, okay? We're going to listen to the last part for today. This is part 26. All we like sheep have gone astray. It's a choral piece, 4 minutes and 16 seconds long, and it's built upon Isaiah 53, verse 6. So I'm going to read that now. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And again, just allow this to soak into your souls, and then allow your spirit to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit as we listen to it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. I'd like to ask you a question. When you listen to that clip, does it remind you of anything out of the Bible? I'm going to play it again at the end and just ask that you soak it up and see if there's anything else that comes to your recollection. But I'm going to tell you something that it reminded me of. It's that story out of the book of Acts where Philip, the first evangelist, met with the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, Philip was at a revival and he was called out by the Lord. I believe he was translated. I know we know he was actually when he was finished. The Bible tells us that. But anyways, he met the Ethiopian eunuch who was in his chariot and he was reading Isaiah. He had gone down to the holy city, Jerusalem, to have a religious experience and yet nothing happened. So he was on his way back home, sitting there reading the scriptures, getting essentially nothing out of them. When Philip sat down and walked through it with him. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament back then, yet they were getting saved by reading the Old Testament. So like I said earlier, the same message, the same gospel, the same good news is in both. So Philip showed him that he was a sinner. In fact, the truth is that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. In other words, we're all sinners. Then Philip showed this man from Ethiopia that Jesus Christ died for his sins. And like we all heard in this last clip, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned, everyone, to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Folks, I'm telling you, there's no doubt in my mind that Philip took this Ethiopian to this verse. And let's call it the remedy. That's the remedy for this dilemma we're in. Philip knew that the Lord Jesus died like a lamb led to slaughter. Folks, Jesus died for all of our sins. But there's one catch. Nobody, I'm going to say that again, nobody has ever been saved who doesn't first off admit that he or she's a sinner. Now, in the average group of people, you usually see two types of people who don't get saved. This could be at some kind of revival. This could be at any church that's preaching a full gospel on any Sunday or any other day of service. First off, there are those, you know, that think they're just too good to be saved. They think the gospel's for that thief, you know, that bank robber, that prostitute, the murderer, or maybe the druggie down the street, or even that whore they see down on the sidewalk in Pittsburgh. They don't think that gospel's for them. No, no, no. That's because they're nice. They're cultured. You know, they're a civilized sort of folks. You know what I'm talking about? But plain and simple, folks, I'm telling you this. Don't think they need to be saved, and that is such a lie. Then on the other hand, you have those who think they're just too horrible, too awful of a sinner to be saved. They sit there and they say, you know, they'll hear the altar call, you know. They'll hear the good news and they'll say, oh, I just wish I could be like those nice church people. But I'm just too big of a sinner. God wouldn't have anything to do with me. But here's the truth, folks. Plain up and listen to it. There's nobody too good that he doesn't need to be saved and nobody too bad that he can't be saved. Amen. We've got to understand that we are all sinners. Jesus saved all of us by taking our places. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own ways, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So Jesus took our sins when he went to Calvary, folks, and praise the Lord. We can receive his righteousness and then go to heaven. Quite simply, that's what the gospel's all about. You know, it's so simple. So simple that even a child can understand it. Jesus took our place. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So Jesus took our sins and he went to Calvary, and in return, we receive his righteousness. Praise the Lord, and we go to heaven. I'm going to say it again. That's what the gospel's all about. And that, folks, is good news. Like I keep saying, it's so simple that a child, even a little child, can get it, yet so humbling that those college professors, they'll stumble over it. They'll try to explain it away. They'll try to criticize it. But let's see how this works. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. So like I've been saying, Jesus died as our substitute, and praise the Lord for that. You know, his death had my name on it. His death had your name on it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord
hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Folks, right now at this minute, you're listening to a crucified man. I have been crucified in Christ. Now you may be wondering, okay, bro, Ken, when were you crucified? Well, folks, I was crucified when Jesus was crucified. His death was for me. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I am free from the penalty of sin, folks. Now, in humility, I can see that. But I can honestly say that those liberal college professors, the mainstream media establishment, you know, those talking heads all around the world and all those fancy TV sets with their fancy suits and their shiny cars and their big mansions and their fast jets, they'll stumble over this one simple truth. I'm telling you this, and it's true for me and for all believers. We can all live what I'll call our executed life, because we are all crucified with Christ. Jesus died as our substitutes. Folks, his death had our names on it. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And that's why, as a believer, I'm a crucified man, folks. I've been crucified, and if you believe this, you too have been crucified. So we are free. Free from the penalty of sin. No more judgment. We're free from the power of sin as we're being sanctified. And ultimately, one day soon in glory, even the very presence of sin will be cast aside forever. Folks, I love you all. And I want you to remember what the Bible says. Him who knew no sin, God hath made to be sin for us. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And never forget this, folks. My sin, your sin, our sin, all the sin of the world was put upon the back of Jesus. And that's the God's truth. God the Father separated himself from God the Son, and Jesus became sin for our salvation as he bore the wrath of our Heavenly Father so we could be saved. Now, we don't understand how that worked, but we believe it. And that's the reason Jesus hung on that cross and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I love you all, folks. And I want you to remember that Jesus loves you. And provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week with another message from God's Word, the Bible, as we continue in part two of the Messiah and this awesome passion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.